I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver. Ready for honest conversations about thriving in midlife? Listen to and follow my new podcast, Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Football is fun. Why shouldn't your football podcast be the same?
Follow and listen to Heed the Call NFL podcast with Dan Hansis and Mark Sessler wherever you get your podcasts.
Come on, let's get going now.
From KMOX Sports.
We're primed and ready.
All day, baby.
Man, let's go.
This is the Gray Bar Sports Open Live. Gray Bar, your distributor for electrical and datacom needs on 104.1 FM, KMOX.
Here we go. Welcome in. It's the Gray Bar Sports Open Line right here on KMOX, a Wednesday evening edition of the show. My name's Matt Pauly. We've got you till 8 o'clock this evening. We got a lot to get into. Very, very busy program coming up today. It's a Wednesday, so that means our weekly conversation with Bernie Miklas is going to be coming up in about 5 minutes or so. Later on this hour, looking forward to this. Not exactly a common occurrence here at KMOX. We're going to talk Eastern Illinois University baseball. And you go, Matt, why are you talking about Eastern Illinois University baseball? With all due respect to all the wonderful people about two and a half hours from here in Charleston, Illinois. Well, in the World Series earlier this week, there was the epic 18-inning game. And if you were watching that game, a guy that you were likely to have never heard of came in to pitch the end of the game, the final few innings, and that was a guy by the name of Will Klein. Wasn't even on the postseason roster for the Dodgers previously. Had been working out in Arizona on his own up until the World Series and then added to the roster. Well, if you didn't know, Will Klein, previously, he played his collegiate baseball, again, just a little bit more than 2 hours away from St. Louis, at Eastern Illinois University, and their head coach, Jason Anderson, who is a former big leaguer himself, having spent a handful of years getting time in the big leagues with a number of different organizations. Jason Anderson, the head coach of Eastern Illinois baseball, is going to join us at about 6:35. Next hour, we are going to hear a little bit from Blues coach Jim Montgomery. He spoke earlier today leading into tomorrow's game that they have and coming off a loss yesterday. Blues are just a mess. Blues are just an absolute mess. They lose to the Red Wings yesterday by a 5-2 score. The news of the day from the Blues, and this is exciting, so we'll see if this gives them some extra pep in their step, but they do announce today that Dalibor Dvorsky has been called up from their AHL affiliate Springfield, and he's going to be playing tomorrow. Jim Montgomery said that he's going to be on the power play tomorrow. So we'll hear a little bit from Jim Montgomery and also the weekly conversation that we get with Patrick Mahomes from our sister station, 96.5 The Fan in Kansas City. That's going to be coming up in the 7 o'clock hour as well. As always, if you want to join us, you can do so by calling or texting 314-436-7900, 314-436-7900. You can tweet at me, at Matt Pauly on air, M-A-T-T-P-A-U-L-E-Y on air. And for those of you who are following along on our video stream, you can leave a comment on the chat, and we'll try to address some of those as we do go along through the program this evening. Did want to start with the Blues, and we'll talk with Bernie Miklas about this a little bit more in just a bit. Like, I don't know when you really start to throw up the red flags. Maybe some people already have. It's really bad right now. And I'm not trying to, run these guys over with a bus, right? Like, it's really bad. They're giving up a ton of goals. Defensively, it's terrible. And it's, Montgomery said today that the path to getting kind of back on track, it's not actually that long, that it can happen pretty quickly. Good, because it needs to, but we need to see this happen. And the five-game losing streak actually is something that hasn't happened in about 2.5 years, I believe it is. The fact that they're just giving, it's not just losing the games, it's how they're losing the games. What did I say earlier? 37 goals and their 37 goals and their 5 regulation losses this year. They've lost every single game that they've lost in regulation. They've lost by at least 3 goals. It is just flat out ugly right now. And this is a good team. This is a very good team. It's a very good team in a conference and in a division that has great teams. So even being a very good team, that doesn't necessarily mean that they're going to be a top of the division, top of conference team. They're probably not. But at the same time, this is a team where the expectations coming into the season that they would absolutely be a playoff club, and they look anything like that. Still very, very early. But you also don't want to be in such a hole that you have a hard time building yourself out of it. And I don't think we're at that point now. They've played 10 games. They've played 10 of 82. And I think it was Braden Shin who spoke about this last night in the locker room, if I remember correctly. If it wasn't him, somebody said it, that you know they can, yeah, they're on a five-game losing streak right now, but they could just as easily go on a five-game winning streak. Okay, that's true. And I think this team does have the talent to do that. But they have to shore themselves up defensively. You can't be giving up 7, 6, 6, and 5 goals over a four-game run. You just can't. And they got to figure it out defensively. And you figure it out defensively. We'll hear from Jim Montgomery next hour. I'm not just trying to parrot everything that he said earlier today, but I thought it was interesting. He discussed where they're at from an offensive standpoint, some of the advanced numbers that go along with who they are offensively when it comes to the chances that they're getting and things like that. They're basically right where they want to be offensively, even if it's not totally resulting in goals. That will come. The process, what they're trying to do, is for the most part being accomplished, but they are just an absolute mess defensively. And they got to find themselves a way to work themselves out of it. And I don't totally know what that looks like, but I hope it happens, and I hope it happens soon, because I was looking forward to a good Blues season and a season that would result in them in the playoffs, and obviously that's still very much on the table. But they can't keep doing this for a while, especially in the division and the conference that they're in. Again, we've got a lot coming up this hour. We are going to hear from Bernie Miklas in just a moment. By the way, a little bit of breaking news. The Minnesota Twins hiring Derek Shelton, the former Pirates manager. He's going to become their new manager. I'll be interested to see what that looks like. And also, it was reported that as Albert Pujols, who continues to discuss things with the San Diego Padres, he's actually on the MLB Network broadcast of the World Series pregame right now. He was in Southern California. He reportedly met with the Padres for 9.5 hours in his second interview. That's what Bob Nightingale said. 9.5 hours Pujols met with the Padres. I don't know if that means he's any closer to getting that job or not, but certainly something to keep an eye on. We'll take a break. When we come back, Bernie Miklas is going to join us. Don't go anywhere. This is Graybar Sports Open Line on KMOX.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, and my new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Listen to and follow Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Football is fun. Why shouldn't your football podcast be the same?
Follow and listen to Heed the Call NFL podcast with Dan Hanzus and Mark Sessler wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back to the Graybar Sports Open Line. Once again, Matt Pauley on King of OX.
We do continue on here on a Wednesday night. We have reached that time where we talk with Bernie Miklas every week. Of course, he is part of the team here at KMOX. You hear him during sports on a Sunday morning, during Dave Glover, Chris and Amy, his weekly conversation here, Rush Hour Sports. He's all over the place. Also, he does daily written and video content over at STL Sports Central. Follow him on Twitter at @B_Miklas. He's Bernie Miklas. How are you doing, Bernie?
I'm doing good, my friend Matt Pauley. Thank you. How you?
I am good. I wasn't going to talk to you about this. This wasn't on my schedule of things to get to, but I just saw you tweet this literally in the last couple minutes. The Augie Nash Twitter account, which is a great account that goes through St. Louis Cardinals history, tweeted something out about Bob Bregg, who obviously at the Post-Dispatch also had a presence here on KMOX. And you quote tweeted it and talked a little bit about your development as a young sports writer and how Bob Bregg was such a big part of that. Can you expound on that a little bit here?
He was incredibly kind and supportive of me. I came to St. Louis in 1985 and I started writing the column in 1989, and I was very young as a columnist. And you know, there are many times in the newspaper business, as it was, not now, but as it was, where sort of the senior columnist who's still working will, you know, not be the nicest to the young puppy columnist, kind of resents the young guy, doesn't offer much help, that kind of thing. I know a lot of people that had to go through stuff like that. But Bob Bregg was, he looked out for me. He was incredibly kind and helpful, and he introduced me to people. We had lunch once a week. I got to know a lot of people in St. Louis that I never would have gotten to know without him. And I just, he had a tremendous impact on me, and I really, really miss him. And I said in the tweet, you know, one of my favorite memories of Bob Bragg was driving him to and from Mizzou football home games. We could have, I mean, he is a living history museum, and all the stories he would have about those great Cardinals teams, you know, going way back. I mean, way, way back. And he's telling me Stan the Man stories and, you know, Enos Slaughter story. So it would be like I wouldn't even drive slow to get to the stadium. I would drive slow because I wanted to listen to his stories and ask him questions. And then coming back, I would drive, coming home to St. Louis, I would drive him even more slowly because I wanted to have those conversations and soak up all that I could. He was what a legend in St. Louis. What an icon. And, you know, it's strange. He's one of those guys I thought would live to be about 100, you know? So to me, he left too soon. I love that man.
Yeah. So this kind of a weird left turn I'm going to take in connecting all of this, but John O'Leary was here at the KMOX studios a little bit more than a week ago, and he was here. He talked to the KMOX staff, and one of the things he brought up was how cool it was at KMOX that you can go in terms of KMOX sports director, because that's Tom Ackerman right now. Mm-hmm. You don't have to go. It's not like a million people have been in that position as you dated back to Jack Buck. Essentially, it's been two people since Jack Buck, and there's a line to that. And I think there's been so many columnists, there's been so many newspaper people, there've been so many team broadcasters that have had such longevity in this market that not only is it cool for those individuals, but like we don't have to trace back that many generations back to get to the great Bob Bragg. You know, that's what I'm trying to get to here. You have these stories about him, and then people have stories about Bernie. Like, it's a very cool part of St. Louis media.
I think it is, and I think in a way that's been lost a little bit in you know, other markets because media has changed so much. And I actually, not that I want to be 66 years old. I'd like to be, say, 46. But I'm also grateful to be 66 and having all this history inside me, all this institutional knowledge passed down by people like not only Bob Bragg, but the bench warmer, Bob Burns, who was also very kind to me, and other legends, Rick Hummel. You know, I'm able to walk around with the stories they told me and the experiences I had with them and because of them. And in my own way, I try to tell these stories and keep their memories alive, but also it's always important to remember the people that came before you who had a great impact, not only on me, but more than me, a great impact on generations of St. Louisans.
Yeah, I'm glad you closed with that. I'm glad we had this conversation. In many ways, the Post-Dispatch and KMOX are intertwined in a lot of things. And I don't know if my dad actually was the producer of this show in the 60s. So I grew up on just learning the history of this. And it's something that, especially with the KMOX 100-year anniversary and everything that's coming up, more of this is going to be out there. And it's really good. It's good to be able to talk about these titans that came before us, and especially for somebody like me that's a little bit younger than you.
Hey, listen. And I mean this 100% with affection, okay? This is not me poking fun at the bench warmer, Bob Burns, who was incredible to me as well. But you ain't, listen, I'm telling you, Mr. Matt Pauly, you haven't done talk radio until you're in the KMOX studio, the old KMOX studios, and you're asked to sit in with Bob Burns. And in the middle of a sentence, Bob Burns, first of all, has got a cigar going, right, in the studio. And then in the middle of the segment, he's talking and he closes his eyes. And I'm thinking, well, he's trying to think of what he wants to say next. He wants to be careful. But then I realize he actually kind of dozed off and he's got the cigar lit and everything else. And again, I'm not making fun of him. I'm just telling you where can you go to see stuff like that? A legend like that. I mean, you know, where you're just like seeing stuff you thought you'd never see, and God bless him. And I would just kind of nudge him softly, you know, And he'd get right back into it like he had never dozed off for a few seconds. Oh, my goodness.
I worked with a guy. So when I was in Milwaukee, I worked with a former big leaguer, Davey Nelson. I don't know if you remember Davey.
Oh, yeah. Okay. I sure do. Yeah.
So I worked with Davey Nelson, and he has since passed away. He's one of my favorite people that I've ever been around. He would doze off at any given moment, and you know maybe you kind of like start to speak a little bit louder just to try to get them out of their day. Maybe I just wasn't very entertaining, but yeah, it is funny when you've got that situation when you're literally talking with somebody who is falling asleep as you're speaking.
You know, and Bob Bragg, 20 million stories, but maybe my favorite one was, it's 1967. And it's game seven of the World Series against the Red Sox. Bob Gibson starting. And what happened was Bob Gibson slept in slept longer than he usually does. It's a Sunday morning, I believe. And so he missed breakfast, like the coffee shop closed or something. And he's on the bus, and Bragg's on the bus. And Gibson's talking about how he's hungry, wish he had something to eat. He needs to eat something to pitch. So Bragg literally jumps off the bus, and he's running down the street, and he finds just a typical diner type place, right, in Boston. And he orders Gibby two ham, egg, and cheese sandwiches, right? There might have even been three. And then he gets in a cab, and he gets to Fenway Park, and he delivers the sandwiches to Gibson, who was not the warmest guy at times, but he just kind of smiled at Bragg and said, well, that was very kind of you, Bob. And then, of course, Gibson goes out and pitches a masterpiece, and he hits a home run. So, and then Bragg, God bless him, would always kind of in a way to take a little credit for that. Oh, my gosh.
Oh.
Stories.
Great stuff. Yep. Before we let you go, I know you did a video on the Blues. Man, five straight losses. They've given up, Bernie, 37 goals in their six regulation losses this year. Every single one of their regulation losses has been by at least three goals. It is, it's early. There's still plenty of time. This is not an indictment on this team for the full season, but holy moly, is this not a good performance from this team right now?
No, Jeremy Rutherford, our good friend from The Athletic, he wrote a great piece today. And, he basically said, his lead was like the St. Louis Blues are broken. And that kind of sums it all up, because there's really nothing about the team right now that's working or functioning well. Like everything about the team is busted. And that part makes it more serious to me, because I'm usually the first guy to well, it's 82 game season. They have 72 to go. Everybody relax. It'll be okay. Well, when a team is this broken and no one down there has any answers, Jim Montgomery's exasperated. He's tried to encourage them. He's tried to demand things. He's held them accountable. He's pointed out, what they need to do. And he doesn't have an answer. And, I thought Cam Fowler last night, when he was asked question by reporters after that awful loss last night, it said, well, what's the problem? What do you identify? Why is this happening? And he said, honestly, I don't have an answer. And I'm thinking, well, the coach doesn't have an answer. The players don't have an answer. I mean, it's broken. It's just a matter of how long it's going to take them to fix it. It's very unusual to see them this bad. And I don't think it's just a little phase. I don't.
All right, we'll see how it goes. Bernie, I really enjoyed this. I'm glad you tweeted that. That was a lot of fun, so thank you for sharing the story. We should do stuff like that more often.
Oh, absolutely, because that's the thing. I'm the old guy now, right?
I mean, I'm not going to call you the old guy, but if you want to self-identify, I'm not going to push back.
I'm the old guy. Okay. I'm the one with the memories. Stories. Anyway, love you, man. Thank you.
Well, before we let you go, can you share with us a little bit about Saliga?
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, and my new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Listen to and follow Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Football is fun. Why shouldn't your football podcast be the same?
Follow and listen to Heed the Call NFL podcast with Dan Hansis and Mark Sessler wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back to the Graybar Sports Open Line. Once again, Matt Pauley on KMOX.
It's Gray Bar Sports Open Line here on KMOX. If you've been paying attention to the World Series, a very cool moment in that crazy 18-inning game the other day. The game was finished out by Dodgers pitcher Will Klein. Now, if you did not know, Klein actually played his college baseball only about 2 hours away from St. Louis at Eastern Illinois, and he played for Coach Jason Anderson, a former big leaguer himself. And Coach Anderson joins us right now. Coach, thanks for taking some time with us. How are you?
Hey, I'm doing great. Big win the other night, and appreciate you having me on.
Yeah, let's start with this. Did you make it all 18 innings? Were you locked in when Will came in?
No. I think I fell asleep about the 12th inning, and I was watching the game with my 14-year-old son, and he stayed up, and he actually let me sleep through Will's first inning, and then he woke me up in the second inning, and pretty locked in after that.
What is it for you? I have to say, I know you were a big leaguer yourself, but watching guys that you coached in college to have that kind of moment and that kind of impact, what did that mean to you?
Oh, man, it's just great, man. It's exciting for Will, obviously, but also his family. Like, he has put in a ton of work and made improvements to his game, and you know, nobody ever thinks they're going to end up being a World Series hero, but, you know, when the moment arises, you know, the question is, are you ready for it? And he was ready for it. It was really neat to see.
So, I mean, you look at his college numbers, they were somewhat pedestrian. I know you don't always you can't project a guy as a big leaguer. Did you see something when he was playing for you? Did you have a thought that this guy had an opportunity to get into pro baseball and to work up the ranks and eventually get to the big leagues?
Well, when we brought him in, I mean, he was in high school. He was a high school catcher, so very limited pitching experience. And so his freshman year, we really worked on, you know, just turning him into a pitcher. Didn't really have a whole lot of off speed, didn't have a whole lot of command, which led into sophomore year where he got a little bit better, but still a little erratic. But his junior year, he was electric. He was, you know, high 90s and dotting fastballs on the quarter and plus breaking balls. The problem was it just happened to coincide with the COVID year. And so we only really got to see him for four starts. And, you know, that was just another obstacle he had to overcome on his end.
What did you see from him? That's an interesting story. The fact that he was a catcher coming out of high school. Did everybody know he was going to be a pitcher at the next level? Or was it something that you and maybe your staff specifically saw?
Well, I don't know what anybody else saw, but, I mean, he's a Bloomington, Indiana kid, you know, right there where Indiana University is. But, you know, I saw him. He had great size. He had a good arm. He was high 80s or, you know, low 90s, fresh arm. But what I really liked about him was his school mentality. I mean, he was a 34 ACT, and that told me that he was really going to be able to work. And, you know, if he put the same effort in the classroom as he did on the field, we were going to be able to develop him. And, we did the visit, and, you know, the combination of talking to him and meeting his family and to seeing his support staff, it was easy. Like, it was a good fit, and we were excited to bring him in.
We're talking to the head coach of Eastern Illinois baseball, and that is Jason Anderson. He was Will Klein's coach when Will was playing college baseball, again, just a couple hours away from here in St. Louis. What does it do for your program? And, you know, bluntly, we would not be having you on. Eastern Illinois baseball is not something we'd be talking about here on KMOX if not for this moment. Over these last couple days, what has it done? Because it has put a bit of a spotlight on your program.
Yeah, well, I mean, for him, he's one of the guys that helped turn our program around. I mean, we've had a lot of success over here. We put three guys in the big league last year. We had Trey Sweeney, who was a first-round pick. Hayden Birdsong was in the rotation with the Giants at 23 years old. And then you got Will throwing over 100 miles an hour. But we also got Ryan Ignafo in Double-A. We won championship rings two out of the last 3 years. We won academic awards. And so, you know, this stuff all stemmed from guys like him that, you know, we talk about winning everything around here, the classroom, the weight room, on the field. And, you know, he's all of those things. And so that's what he really means to us. And he's opened the door to really show other guys that, hey, this is really possible.
The Eastern Illinois, from an athletic standpoint, it gets talked about a lot with football because there's been a number of individuals connected to Eastern Illinois that have gone on to do really good things in the NFL. It's beyond baseball, beyond football. I mean, this is just an athletic department that certainly probably has punched above its weight in terms of producing high-end players, high-end coaches, things like that.
Yeah, you know, and that's what I like. You know, our program, when I recruit guys, I tell them, like, I want to do things that people don't think we can do. Like, I don't want to be at the program that just goes and buys players that other guys have developed. I want guys that have a chip on their shoulder that have been overlooked and come in here, and then we'll go compete against those guys, and we've beaten them. You know, we've beaten the big schools, and, you know, we're not afraid of them. And it's a mentality that works well when these guys do get into Pro Bowl. And, you know, to go in the 15th inning of a World Series game, like, you better have that mentality. And, you know, some of these kids that are going to these bigger schools don't have that mentality.
It's a really cool story. Since we have you, and I know you have one, I was looking at your roster. I saw there was one kid from the St. Louis area. It's Charleston, Illinois, less than 2.5 hours away from St. Louis. How important is the St. Louis area for what you're trying to do and the recruiting that you do for your team?
Yeah, we've got, you know, most of our guys are from St. Louis, Chicago, Indianapolis area. But we got guys from all over the world. We've had Canadians, Australians. Had a kid from the Bronx last year, South Dakota, California. I'm looking under every rock trying to find guys that have that mentality that, you know, want to do those things. And, you know, but St. Louis has been huge for us. It's the baseball down there is awesome. And so we've had a good number of guys that have came up here that, you know, that have had success.
Well, there's been a lot of focus here on Eastern Illinois baseball the last couple of days. Jason Anderson, the head coach, former big leaguer himself, but he got to watch one of his players, as he mentioned a moment ago, a number of his players play in the big leagues, but it was a really cool moment watching Will Klein in the extra inning game. Coach, thank you so much for taking the time and for sharing your experience and what it was like for you watching Klein pitch the other day. Really, really cool stuff.
Thank you so much for having me.
That is Jason Anderson, again, the head baseball coach at Eastern Illinois. It's funny, you never know. All of a sudden, a guy that you really haven't heard much about, like a Will Klein, he walks into to a game, has a huge impact, wins a game from the mound, and just does things that nobody really expected out of him, somebody who wasn't even on the roster earlier on in the postseason for the Dodgers. And then you find out the backstory, and lo and behold, this is a guy who was pitching his college ball about 2 hours from St. Louis, and a great opportunity to talk with Coach Jason Anderson about that experience. We will take a break. We've got more coming up. Don't go anywhere. You are locked in to a Gray Bar Sports Open Line on KMOX.
Welcome back to the Gray Bar Sports Open Line. Once again, Matt Pauly on KMOX.
Back at it as we get into our final segment here in hour number one. Hour number two, we've got a lot coming up. We are going to hear from Blues coach Jim Montgomery. He spent some time meeting with the media after practice earlier today. Had some really interesting things to say. Talked a lot about Dalibor Dvorsky, who is now with the team. Will play tomorrow night. Will be a center. Will be on the power play tomorrow. But also, how does this team get better? That was a big part of what was talked about today. So you'll hear from Jim Montgomery in just a while. I got some feedback on something that I said, and I'll be honest with you. If we talk Cardinals, if we talk baseball, there's never an issue with getting feedback. When we talk about the Blues, we don't get as much feedback. And I don't totally know why that is. I'm not going to not talk Blues about it. We talk a lot of Blues hockey on this show, as we should. And I made the comment earlier that the Blues are a good, not great team. Maybe I said a very good team, not great. I don't know if I said good or very good, but I did put the qualifier not great. And what I meant by that is I think they're a team that should be in the postseason this year. I think they're good enough to be in the postseason, but I don't think they're the class of the division. I know they're not the class of the division. I know they're not the class of the, you know, of the West overall, right? So good, not great. That's how I would describe them. Got a fair amount of feedback on that. And just a couple examples of that. Larry sent in a message on the video stream, said it is not a very good team. Got a more elaborate text that came in that says, let's see, we'll make sure I get this right. It says, how can you say Fields a good hockey team? He says, if you truly take the St. Louis hat off, can you really feel that way? Says, I have to imagine an evening sports show in any other market is going to look at the Blues and not say that's a really good team. I know it has to be hard to be in the market and trash on them, but a supposed good team in our hearts and on paper is not the same as what's on the ice. Try to remove the bias. And I appreciated that message. And I guess this is where I would go from the from that. When I talk about, and at some point in the year this changes, right? We're still early on in the year. If they continue to play the way they are playing right now, well, 2 months from now, I'm not going to tell you they're a good team. Because at that point, there's going to be enough evidence on the ice that that's not the case. I look at who they should be. I look at who they could be, but more about who they should be. Should and could are different. They rhyme, but they're not the same. Who they should be. Who should the Blues be? I think we saw down the stretch of the year last year a pretty darn good team, and I think they got better in the offseason. Now, Jim Montgomery climbed to the mountaintop and screamed as loud as he could during training camp that this is a brand new year. This is not just a continuation of last season. And I think a lot of us, including myself, I'll raise my hand, a lot of us just kind of looked at, okay, this is almost going to be a continuation of last season. And Jim Montgomery tried to tell us, no, that's not the case. That's not the case. This is a brand new team, and you can't build upon expectations from last year to this year. Maybe build upon expectations is the wrong way to say it. But you understand. I think you should understand where I'm going at with this. For me, it's early enough to say that I don't think the team that we're seeing on the ice right now is who they are. I think they're better than that. Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe the people who are pushing back on me right now are going to be correct. And if that's right, well, we're going to have plenty of time to revisit this for sure. And if the Blues don't turn things around, if the Blues continue to struggle at this rate, if they're not a playoff team this year, well, then we can sit here and maybe I'll change my tune to all of a sudden I'll be saying, well, the Blues just aren't a very good team. I did that with the Cardinals. And I'm not afraid of changing opinions, and I don't think it's talking out both sides of my mouth. I'm a real big believer in this. I believe what I believe, and I believe what I believe for reasons. But when given new information, I am the first to reevaluate things and look at things differently. I think from a self-awareness standpoint, I actually think that's one of my strengths. I tend not to dig in on positions. When something presents itself, when there is new information out there, I have no problem changing my opinion based off that. And the Cardinals went from a team that in May I was really excited about, and the way they were playing, I thought that maybe that was something that was going to be real, maybe that was something that was going to be legitimate. And by the time the season got done, I think we could all sit back and say, you know what? They just weren't a very good team. They just didn't have enough talent. They played over their skis in the month of May, and some people, including myself, probably got caught up in it a little bit. And at the end of the day, they just weren't the best team. Maybe that's going to happen in kind of reverse order here with the Blues maybe moving forward, right? And I hope not. I hope not. I hope that they turn around, and I hope that they're a good that the play on the ice matches my expectations for them. So when I sit here and say they're a good team, it's not me talking about who they are right now with a 3-6-1 record. It's about the talent that has been assembled. It's about the coach they have. It's about the things that they can be. And it's still early enough in the season that I feel like they can reach that. One final thing before we get out of here for hour number one. This is hockey related. I wanted to share this story because I think it's really cool. This was written by, it's from The Athletic. Let's see. James Myrtle wrote it. I believe that's how you say his name. Brad Marchand of the Florida Panthers. I don't know if you've heard this story. It's pretty darn cool. He is actually stepping away from the Florida Panthers for a single night. He had a friend in his hometown of Halifax, and his friend, a local coach and a trainer in Halifax, J.P. McCollum. J.P. recently lost his 10-year-old daughter after a battle with cancer. Just a terrible, terrible story. So Brad Marchand is stepping away from the Florida Panthers. And one of the cool when you hear about Marchand, you think about like super tough guy, right? Like he's got a he has a reputation as a player, a certain reputation. Well, this shows you that guy who the guys are on the ice sometimes is not exactly who they are in real life, for lack of a better term. And that's not true just about hockey. That's true about everything. So Marchand's going to be coaching in place of this individual McCollum when the Nova Scotia under 18 hockey Halifax team play in a game that's going to be coming up again. I believe that's going on tonight. And this game is going to be used as an opportunity to honor the memory of that man's daughter, raise funds for the family as well, as evidently they do need a little bit of help in that area. And Marchand has donated a signed jersey for an online raffle. But really, really a cool thing right there that Brad Marchand's leaving the Florida Panthers for a night, has a close relationship with this individual, and he's gonna step aside from the Florida Panthers and go coach this team in honor of a friend. So I saw that today. I thought it was really, really cool. And one of those stories that I'm glad The Athletic wrote about, and I'm glad it got out there a little bit because we don't always hear those type of stories, and I just thought it was certainly something that absolutely was worth mentioning. Blues are going to get back at it tomorrow night. Again, coming up in hour number two, we are going to hear a little bit from Jim Montgomery. He had a lot to say today. I've gone through some of it, but we're going to listen into him of all of his non-game media conferences that he's had this year. I thought today was... for me personally, it was kind of the most enlightening. He said a lot of things about a lot of different things, and certainly want to play that for you. And then also in hour number two, we are going to hear from Kansas City Chiefs quarterback Patrick Mahomes, his weekly conversation that he does with our sister station, 96.5 The Fan in Kansas City. We like to replay that for you each and every week, and we're going to do that for you after the Chiefs came away with a good victory. Also in the 7 o'clock hour, something crazy is happening. I've talked about this way too much lately. This just shouldn't be something that we're talking about on an everyday basis. But the college football, the way things are going right now in college football with the coaches, it's crazy. It's absolutely crazy with what's happened with the coaching carousel. And there were some comments made today by the governor of Louisiana, of all things, about the head coaching position at LSU and who's actually going to be hiring that position. And if we were to like take the same situation and apply it to Missouri, it would be a really weird thing. So we'll get into that coming up as well here in just a little while. As always, if you want to join us, 314-436-7900, 314-436-7900. That's how you call. That's how you text. You can tweet at me as well, at Matt Pauley on air. You are locked in to a Graybar Sports Open Line right here on KMOX.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, and my new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Listen to and follow Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Football is fun. Why shouldn't your football podcast be the same?
Follow and listen to Heed the Call NFL podcast with Dan Hanses and Mark Sessler wherever you get your podcasts.